Hello and welcome to my talk about our use case with CloudStack and its storage. At the end it will be Ceph, where I tell you a bit more. It's about our journey to get the storage backend for CloudStack working, what we had before and the way to get the Ceph stuff working with CloudStack. So first, a bit more about me. My name is Sebastian. I'm working at iTelligence as Linux system engineer, cloud architect. Yeah. And I'm using CloudStack now since 2013, I think. We started with 4.2. The other responsibilities for me are the architecture and the implementation around our own cloud environment called IT Cloud. Most of the day, I'm working, of course, with CloudStack, Ansible, Ceph, and all the other infrastructure related stuff. My company also organizes some meetups and user groups in Germany. So one day, if you are in Germany, please join us. And if you want to contact me, you can get, you have here some social accounts. Now, some nice marketing slides I have to show you. But I will go quick through this. If you want to know more about my company, feel invited to Ingo's talk tomorrow at... Tomorrow? Okay. The agenda for today, I will talk about the challenge we had and the environment we started with then a small introduction into CloudStack and CloudStack storage, and then about our environments we had with the storage, and a bit more to Ceph, and at the end, what we get from all this. Okay, first, a bit more about where my team comes from. My company's main business is the support for SAP products. So we do the support for the customers as well as for SAP. So we have some teams, they do just the support for the applications like S4HANA, Sybase, and all this stuff. And my team is responsible for some of the SAP clouds, so all the infrastructure stuff. And one day my company was looking for some new business opportunities, and then we decided, okay, we do it for other customers, why don't we do it for us and build our own cloud environment? So first you have the question, what stuff do you need for such a cloud environment? Forget this. First, for every cloud environment, you need a bit of storage. So from our customers, we know the big storage providers like NetApp and EMC. Then you need a bit network, hypervisors from our customers there. We know Xen and VMware. And we wanted to have orchestration for all the stuff. So we don't want to do this, all the configuration and deployment by hand. So, yeah, create the VM, create the storage volume, configure the network and that stuff. So we needed orchestration for all of this. And it should be as much as possible open source. So we started to create a test environment. Means we don't want it to have productive systems in it, just a real test environment, just to see how it works, if it works, and what components we need for this. Because of its nature of a test environment, we had a very limited budget. So we used just consumer hardware. Means we had, for example, no NetApp or EMC, just the 1 gigabit network connection, no high performance hardware. So, and yeah, what we had a lot or not was time. So as usual, should be done yesterday and working very nice. So this is was our starting position. So we created simply this environment. We chose CloudStack for the orchestration. I will tell you later a bit more why we choose CloudStack. The hypervisors, KVM, very simple, available under every Linux. And NFS as the storage backend. Very simple, very old. We thought it will just work. So first, a bit more about CloudStack and why we decided to use CloudStack. Does everyone know what CloudStack is? No? Okay. For the guys who don't know what CloudStack is, it's an orchestration platform where you can deploy private and public cloud environments for or infrastructure as a service clouds. It manages all your running instances as well as the storage for this systems. We have in CloudStack, it's called primary and secondary storage. Primary for the running VMs, secondary for all static stuff like templates, ISOs, snapshots. And it also manages all your network stuff from the data link layer up to some application layer services like DHCP, firewall, VPN, and stuff. It also has user management and account separation. You have an API already and a very nice user interface, and it's working with almost every hypervisor like VMware, KVM, and one I missed here is the XCPNG, I think. It's working now. Yeah, and it's open source, and we wanted to use as much open source as we could. If you look at the CloudStack storage, what does work? On the right-hand side, you have a little matrix, which hypervisor works with which storage backend. So this matrix is just for the primary storage, so for the running VMs. And yeah, as I told you before, we used NFS with KVM. And you have the secondary storage for the static stuff. And there you can use NFS, TIFFS S3, or Swift. Any questions so far? No? Okay. So, we started with this host. At first it was just one host, later we extended it to the second host. Each host had 6 disks with 2 terabytes per disk. And we put on every 2 disks software RAID 1. And then we used logical volumes for, of course, the OS of this host, and then 1 volume for the primary and 1 for the secondary storage of CloudStack. But it's not really scalable. Means you have just this 6 disk. Okay, you can extend the 6 disks to 8, 10, and also put a software RAID on it and use LVM to extend your logical volumes. But there comes a point where it ends. You can't extend it. So the next thing is you have a single point of failure. So you put all your running instances on this NFS host, and if the host goes down, all running VMs goes down. Same for maintenance. If you want to do a reboot for a kernel update or something like this, if you want to do it, you have to migrate every single volume, and then you can do the maintenance. But it takes maybe a long time, or maybe you have not enough space on the other NFS host. So, yeah. We had some bugs, some strange bugs. Just the worst one was we had this software RAID and with the logical volume. And then we tried to extend the logical volume for the primary storage over the edge of the first software RAID to the second one. And suddenly this logical volume turned into read-only mode. And we couldn't really fix it while the host was running. So we had to kill all the VMs running on this NFS host, reboot the NFS host, and then it was rewrite again. But yeah, with 2 hosts, the half of your cloud is down, so it's not really working. And the performance is really bad. As I said, we have a lot of SAP systems, and you have huge hypervisors with a lot of systems, and all the systems are using just one NFS host, and they need data. It's the performance. Your network is not the bottleneck. It's just the disks on this NFS host, so that's not really working. But at the end, for you as the guy who deploys this stuff, you need some customers who are using this stuff to get some load on the whole system. So we decided, okay, we have a lot of teams who need test systems, and told them, okay, here we have this environment, you can use it. And then they use it. So you can tell them all the time, okay, it's a test environment and we don't take care if your system goes down or not, but you can't really do this because they need this system even if it's just a test system. So you can't turn all the time the system off and up again. So for you, at the end, it's productive. So the conclusion is you can just do a proof of concept with it, with this environment and this simple NFS host. Productive, it's not working at all. But we have KVM as the hypervisor. So as you saw in the metrics, we can also use Ceph. The advantages of Ceph are a lot. So you have, it's very scalable. So if you need more storage, just deploy another host, put it in the cluster, and that's it. You have a replication inside the Ceph cluster. You don't need any RAID controller or something like this. You just define how many replicates do you want in your cluster, and then you define one pool. In Ceph, it's called pool, where you define which disks and hosts are responsible for the storage you have. So you have just to define at least one primary storage in CloudStack. So if you want to extend this pool, just put more hosts in it. The next is, because of this replication feature, you can easily do a maintenance of one host. So if you have three replicas of your data, you can just turn one host down. You still have at least two replicas and do the maintenance, do the reboot, do the kernel upgrade. Doesn't matter. And because of this just one pool, just primary storage with a lot of hosts in the cluster, you don't need any migration from one primary storage to another primary storage. The performance is much better because all of your hypervisors can speak to every host in the cluster. And it's also open source. So, what can possibly go wrong? We decided, okay, we at least for Ceph to get real working cluster, you need three nodes. For this replica of three, Ceph by default says, okay, you have three hosts with three disks, and every of your replicas shouldn't be on the same host. So at least you need three hosts for a working Ceph cluster. We decided to use Debian, Wheezy at this time. And we wanted to have a very nice file system and choose BTRFS. At this time, the release of Ceph was Hammer, and we didn't use CephFS. So we had no metadata server, just three monitors for Ceph to get the data. So the next thing we have to do is the migration from the NFS primary storage to the Ceph primary storage. Unfortunately, you can do it only offline. So I think the only way to get it online is SolidFire, I don't know. Can you do from store pool online migration?
So the KVM hypervisor can do it, but you need also
obviously in So, yeah, we had to do it offline. I mean, every single VM you have to shut down, migrate the disks, and then turn it on again. So later we extended this cluster with the two nodes we had before, the NFS nodes, just to increase the cluster, get more free space. Yeah. What can possibly go wrong with such a setup? A lot. First, the Debian. It's not really a recommendation for Ceph to use Debian. You can. You have the packages. You can very easily install it. But it's not really a recommendation. At this time with Debian Wheezy and BTRFS, we had the next problem. You couldn't use the default kernel. So we had to install a backports kernel as well as the BTRFS tools from the backports to get the BTRFS working. Then we had a huge problem with BTRFS because we didn't realize it first, but disk-free is completely useless in this constellation, Debian 7 with the BTRFS tools. Because of this, it showed completely wrong cluster free space. The problem is with BTRFS, you have a lot of metadata on the disk. And yeah, at this time, disk-free didn't notice this metadata. The next problems we had was we did...
What OS are you using now? You replaced
Ubuntu. Ubuntu. The same as for the hypervisors. So... And this is a recommendation. You can use Red Hat-like or Ubuntu. In these two distributions, they test everything what you have in Ceph. Debian is also supported, but they don't test every single stuff. So the next thing you have or you need with Ceph, install the Ceph client. We didn't do it. You don't need it because the kernel can speak to the RAS block device. So you don't need it. So we didn't install it. We didn't adjust any kernel parameters, not for network, not for file handles, nothing. As the same as libvirt. We didn't configure this. So... where we end up with this stuff, we had all customer VMs running on the Ceph cluster. Good thing. But because of the disk-free error, at this moment we didn't know this, we had a massive performance problem. Speak about, in the VM we had 2 kilobytes per second read and write speed in the VM. So this is not working at all. And the next problem we had, we couldn't do another downtime. We had the downtime before to do the migration from NFS to Ceph. So we had to shut down every single VM. And we couldn't tell our customers, even if they're just from our company and just testing, this is whole environment, we couldn't tell them, okay, we need another downtime for this. So we had to rebuild this. Steps for this was cross fingers that it works. Then we installed the new OS on every single cluster node. Okay, this time we had just 5 cluster nodes, so not that much amount, but we had to do it on every single cluster node and switch from Debian to Ubuntu. So because of this new installation, you have to move all Ceph monitors. So in Ceph, you need at least 3 monitors to have a running cluster. So you have to move this monitor, which gives the hypervisors the map where the data is stored. So you have to move the monitors every time to another node. Then we recreated every disk at this time with XFS. this is the recommendation for Ceph and the default. And this is working. Yeah, working, this free tool, this is really working. Then we installed the Ceph client on every hypervisor. For Ceph, you have a tool, it's called Ceph Deploy, where you can roll out all the Ceph stuff on the nodes. You can roll out the nodes itself, and also you can roll out the client just with Ceph Deploy install hypervisor 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's not a big deal. And then we started to adjust the kernel parameters for open file handles, the whole network stuff, and the libvirt as well. At the end, we had a real working cluster with much better performance. Much, I can't really tell you because it was our old environment with just 1 gigabit network connection, but at this time the customers didn't complain anymore, exactly. So, and we had no downtimes for the customers. This was all on a running cluster, complete rebuild of the cluster with a running cluster. So, at the end, our final environment, we still have CloudStack for the orchestration, just works, one product. We still have KVM as the hypervisor. And the one thing we changed is the storage backend. Now we have for the primary storage Ceph. And as you see, there is still NFS on the screen because, as I told you before, for the secondary storage, all the static stuff, you still need NFS, Swift, S3, or SMB. So we still have one NFS host. But at the end, it's just like a proxy for Ceph. So it's just a virtual machine with a Rados block device in the Ceph cluster and serves the data via NFS for the secondary storage. So at the end, it's all Ceph. Yeah, and at the bottom, some stuff we added. We use Ansible for the automation, means we roll out infrastructure, customer VMs, everything with Ansible, and some stuff we had to develop on our own. New user interface to get for our customers to get more services included, for example, monitoring, backup, and this stuff. A daemon for Ansible to get the system more distributed, all the Ansible stuff. And one point is missing here, the billing. Next talk, Alexander can tell you more about our billing with CloudStack.
And what are you using now for billing?
Listen to Alex. Self-written stuff and usage. So, any questions so far?
Was NFS supported file system for Ceph?
Yes. 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 In the documentation, there was written you can use BTRFS, but it's not recommended. It's supported, but not recommended. They wanted to use it in the future, but now this was version Hammer, where we started. And there you have the disks, the OSD, the object storage daemon, and you needed to have a file system on it. With the versions nowadays, you don't need a file system. So they call it Blue Store, and now you don't need any file system. And still the recommendation is XFS. So, one last thing. If you think all the stuff with Ceph, we can't try it because we need three hosts and a lot of this and whatever. This is a sample for a conference in Germany we created with less than, I think, €1,000 based on ARM systems with the Luminous release. It's not the latest. The latest is Mimic. It's one step ahead. And the disks are just on USB sticks, so very cheap to test, not for productive, just to see. You can easily deploy a Ceph cluster, and the Ansible automation you can find under this link to deploy it without any tools, like Ceph deploy or stuff like this. Questions? I think the first version where Ceph was working with CloudStack was CloudStack version 4.5, and we used it with 4.9. And now we switch to 4.11. These are the two versions we used with Ceph. No. You have to adjust a lot on the kernel and the KVM to get it really working. First stuff you see, you lose connections, and the monitoring is complaining about the network devices and stuff like this, and then you have to adjust the kernel parameters, and the Ceph cluster is still on default. We didn't change that much on the Ceph cluster. We don't really have such problems, but I think we have luck at this point because we have a lot of HANA databases, so in-memory databases, so they don't really use the storage backend that much. So, and it's not a public cloud, it's just private, so we have just this a lot, I think 80 or 70% is just this big databases, in-memory databases, so we doesn't have such errors.
Thanks.
I have a couple of questions. One, what is the size of this kind of deployment? And the other one is, you mentioned that you have downtime and you need a time to convert from NFS to the new solution. How long was that? So how long was the migration and downtime for the VMs for the resorting? And then what is the size of
it? The migration from NFS to Ceph, I think we didn't need more than 1 week, because we had both storage backends working, both in the cloud stack for the primary storage, and we could tell the customer, okay, now we need a downtime for
15 minutes,
for a half an hour or whatever, depends on the size of the disk, and then we shut down just the VM, migrated the stuff, and that's it. We had just this two NFS hosts with this 6 terabyte each, so it wasn't that much. So, and at the moment, the environment is, I think, 8 nodes with 7 disks, 1.8 terabyte each disk, SAS disks.
Yeah.
At the moment, we want to improve it via SSDs or NVMEs, but at the moment, it's just disks, but working for the customers. Okay.